Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, y'all? We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Kotepa Barbigani, assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds. We are back, family, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with y'all. This is Collective Minds, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And Collective Minds is our support. So give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. We have an outstanding dynamic topic for you today. But before we get started, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Very, very busy week, but nevertheless, I want to look at the cup as half full instead of half empty. So it was busy. I did some things I had needed to do. Other stuff got to wait, but I'll get to it. But I want to encourage everybody that don't stress yourself. Just do what you can do. Try to learn how to prioritize, and then just make it simple. Just get it done when you can get it done. Don't stress yourself. Like I do sometimes. I'm telling you something that you can tell me later.
That's right. Exactly. Yes, indeed. All right, Brother Mufasa. How was your week, my brother? And you got any announcements for us?
Hey, I had a good, fantastic week. Looking forward to a fantastic next week. For us announcements, I'll be going up Tuesday to Grand Rapids, Michigan to hear the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talk, so I'm looking forward to my trip Tuesday. Also, if you all are living here, anyone in the St. Louis area, September the 28th at, what is the address? 4101 West Florissant at the, I hope I don't butcher this name up. Aquaba Hall, that's at 4101 West Florissant. They'll be having a Black Power and Poetry open mic, and the title of it is Celebrating the Beauty of the African Woman. So to all you spoken word people, you know, who want to go out and express yourself, if you want to sit down and listen to some good spoken word, celebrating the beauty of the African woman, that's September the 28th. At 4101 West Florissant Avenue at the Aquaba Hall. So I believe it's $5 in advance, $7 at the door.
All right. Yes, indeed. I like that title. What's that title again?
Celebrating the Beauty of the African Woman. So, you know, I plan on being there.
Yes, indeed. The Beauty of the African Woman. I like that. Now, I didn't have an announcement, but you just made me think about something real quick. Did you guys see the H&M ad that they put out where they have there's a young black sister who's in the ad, and basically it's like a side profile shot, but her hair is natural. It's kind of pulled in a bun, and that's what H&M was kind of using as far as one of their ads. And, you know, a lot of people kind of got upset about that. So I wanted to know, did y'all see it? Have y'all seen that picture?
No, I didn't see it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I have to send it to y'all. But it's basically a young girl in her, you know, with her natural hair. It's kind of pulled back in a bun or whatever. And people's kind of going in because her hair is not really combed. It's just kind of pulled in a bun. But it's natural. And you know how our hair is. And some people had an issue with it. You know, it was nothing against the little girl from what I've seen. It was just, questioning their motive or why they would put out an ad like that. This is H&M, the clothing store.
You mean the same clothing store
that had the young man with the monkey suit, the monkey hoodie, the coolest monkey in the jungle hoodie.
Oh,
yes,
I ain't got enough.
This is the same. Yes, this is the same clothing store. So, you know, I'll send you guys that pic during the show, and y'all take a look at it. But you know, I thought that was fairly interesting. But without further ado, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. I don't have any announcements, so we gonna get right into the show. Now, today's show, we are talking about the Revolt Summit that happened last week. For those that don't know, there was a Revolt Summit that happened in Atlanta last week, and they were talking about a black agenda. They were talking about voting. They were talking about Donald Trump and just the black community in general. On this panel, they had T.I., who's a rapper, Killer Mike, who's a rapper. They had Candace Owens, who's a black Republican, I guess you could say. There was a young lady named Tamika Mallory, who's an activist. She does a lot of work in the community. She was formerly on the Women's March. She was part of the Women's March, but they recently let her go. So, you know, that's another topic. There was also a woman named Katrina Pearson. I think she's, I want to say, a Republican or a Trump supporter as well. And there was a brother named Stephen Pargett. Now, that's the guy who was in a yellow sweater that everybody was talking about, asking who was he. And he's, I guess he's the founder of Trap the Vote, which reaches out to engage young people in the voting process. And this particular conference was hosted by Cousin Jeff. Everybody know Cousin Jeff from back in the day, BET Rap City. I don't know if he still go by Cousin Jeff, but you know, we go refer to him as Cousin Jeff. That's still our cousin. So he was hosting a panel, and they were going in basically talking about a lot of things that affect our community. So we wanted to bring that discussion here to Collective Minds. So give us a call. We go in. We've all watched it, and we're going to give our opinions and views, what we like, what we didn't like, and go in, and then we want to hear from the family as well. So that's what we on today. This is Collective Minds, and we are talking about how do you feel about the Revolt Summit, if you were able to see it. If you were not able to see it, you can still give us a call, and we could talk about, you know, black politics, black agenda, black voting, Donald Trump, anything related in those fields. You know, give us a call and share your views with us. Okay. So, yeah, that's how we're doing it. We're going to get started. We always defer to the Queen first. So, Queen Rigel, you know, what did you think about the Revolt Summit? You know, just your overall thoughts, any likes or dislikes. And, you know, we take the conversation from there.
Okay. Yeah. I actually like the, you know, the concept of what they did. I think it should take place more often. I would love to see this develop into, you know, something later on down the line, because I think it started off as a great idea, great concept, but I don't think it was that well organized, but I'm excited to see, you know, the long run. So I hope they continue to do more discussions like this, because I think it's important and I think it's very necessary. So I'm excited to see it grow into its full potential, because I think it is a great thing. The only thing that I really just, if you want to call it a dislike, is the lack of organization toward the panel and the communication. So I think a lot of information got lost. I think a lot of questions wasn't answered fully, and some wasn't even answered at all. You know, so I think once that part about it gets a little more developed, I think we can really get, you know, take away good information. I just think by this being the first time, it just seemed like it was just a little uncertain of some things and directions. But other than that, I think it was a great discussion, great topic. I think it's always necessary to be able to deal with people and others and, you know, share ideas and thoughts and different perceptions and views, you know. So I'm definitely for that, and I think that's the main thing. You know, the other little things, I think, as like I said, if you want to call it a dislike, those are things that can be fixed and developed over time. But the concept, I think it's good, you know. So I give it around a 7.5.
Oh, 7.5. Okay, well, that's about a C. That ain't I don't know. 7.5 didn't sound like that was that good.
Screenwriter. So,
okay.
But, hey.
Okay.
I don't know.
Eight.
Okay. A B minus. We that's cool with that. Okay. A 8 on a 1 to 10. Okay. We'll roll with that. All right. Any more thoughts or? Queen Rigel, any more thoughts? Or you good?
No more thoughts. That's pretty much, you know, that's pretty much it as far as my full take on it, on everything. I may have some comments based off of, you know, other comments, but that's my full perspective
right.
of the whole experience. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, all right. My brother Mufasa Ra. What did you think about the Revolt Summit? Overall thoughts, likes and dislikes. What you think, brother?
Overall, I enjoyed the conversation. It was needed. It was necessary. I like the variety of, like, yeah, Steve Parker, you know, up and coming young person. Who, you know, was kind of like, you know, he really didn't have, what did he say? He didn't have an agenda. He just kind of was there representing young people. I like the fact
right.
that, you know, they had Candace Owens, who a lot of people, you know, don't really, a lot of black people don't really care for some of her sentiments. You know, they give her the coon label. T.I., Killer Mike, you know, you got to have your, you know, your rappers up there. And Katrina Pearson, she could have talked a little bit more. She didn't get really the opportunity to speak that much. And
right.
Tamika Mallory as well. Killer Mike, I think, and T.I., kind of maybe hogged up a little bit of the conversation, especially Killer Mike, but he did have a lot of interesting points to say. When it comes to Candace Owens, I really want to hear more of what she had to say, because when she was talking about the illegal immigration is the new black, and she was giving, you know, saying that birth rates are down among blacks and the black illiteracy rates are up. And then she was going into the absentee fathers, breaking down the family. All these are key points that are a detriment to the black community, in my opinion. So I definitely want to hear her get the opportunity to talk about that more. She also brought up a good fact when she said single motherhood. In the 60s, the single motherhood rate in the 60s was at 23%. Now it's up to 74%. And it seemed to me like a lot of people in the crowd were trying to talk over her. And, like, they're just really not looking at those things, single motherhood and father absenteeism. It seemed like they weren't really embracing that and understanding that is a detriment to the black family. I think we've gotten to this point where we're trying to, you know, big up and mold single motherhood and we're just making light of that situation. And I think Candace was right and exact that we need to be discussing that more and we need to be combating that more, because it shouldn't be single motherhood in the black community is the norm. Family structure is is under attack in the black community, and we need to be discussing it. T.I. was talking about the mass shootings. You know, he brought that thing up about it being crazy white boys and police civilization. I was with him on it. That needs to be discussed. Police brutality, that definitely needs to be discussed more. He threw out a question about Trump not denouncing white supremacy. And Candace wanted to go in and answer that. I would have liked to hear that dialogue between them two a little bit more also, because it appeared that Candace was throwing out some Twitter quotes that he did denounce white supremacy. So I would have loved to see them two go back and forth a little bit more also. And then as far as the Killer Mike, I agree with what he was saying about the economic landscape. Black people need to be a bigger part of the economic landscape and more self-reliant, you know, and also that, hey, we can come together and work on our community. We don't all have to be in total agreement to get things done. But if we have our agenda in place, then we should be able to move out on that and say, hey, okay, I might not totally agree with that, but to help out the cause and the agenda overall, let's make something move. So I did appreciate that. As far as Katrina Pearson, I already said I wish I could have heard her speak a little bit more. She brought up the issue of having a lack of black leadership. I agree with that to a certain degree, because we do have black leadership. It's just the masses of black people don't 100% follow the directions of black leadership. And, you know, I'm always going to say the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a strong black leader. We have black leaders out here, but the mass of the people, and that's just one person, don't seem to follow the direction of our black leadership. And he also went into how Trump had given money to HBCUs, and, you know, he was defending some of the things that the Trump administration has done for black people. I would like to hear some more of that, more dialogue and debate over exactly what Trump has done for black people. So she did bring it up, and I would like to hear more of that. Tamika Mallory, you know, she spoke a lot about white supremacy. You know, we've talked about a lot about that here on our show. So, but overall, with all that said, everyone has some good points. Another knock that I didn't like, me personally, I didn't like all the cursing, and you, what you call him, Uncle Jeff, Cousin Jeff?
Yeah, Cousin Jeff.
He started that when he said the first cuss word in the beginning of the thing, and I'm like, well, you know, what's up with that? And then it just led from there with
facts.
And T.I., I don't know who else was on it. It was really cussing. I don't think I heard the females curse that much. But Killer Mike, T.I.
Killer Mike.
You know, they just women, huh? Who did?
Fact,
who
Killer
did
Mike
right
went in.
Yeah, you know, it was just too much cursing. And I think, I understand you want to relate to hood people, but at the same time, you can, you know, get your point across without having to stoop down to a level that you come off as being, you know, ignorant, because nobody really takes you that serious. You know what I'm saying? We have to learn how to articulate ourselves in a better manner. I mean, with all that cursing, you don't show, well, I'm going to say, would you want your grandmother sitting around listening to all that? Hey, some of us, you know, we do that. But I think that says a lot in how our morals is and where, you know, how
facts.
We be carrying ourselves. So I didn't agree with all the cursing. I understand where he's coming from, but I didn't agree with all the cursing. But overall, outside of, you know, the whole overall, I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to hearing another one.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, that was our brother Mufasa Ra. We heard Queen Raja before that, and I am Cosmic Kev, and we're talking about the Revolt Summit that happened last week, you know, with T.I., Killer Mike, Candace Owens, Katrina Pearson, Tamika Mallory, and Stephen Pargett. And we just going in on just, you know, what we liked about the conference and our overall thoughts as far as how it went. Now, as far as the conference, I thought it was a good conference, right? I think it was one of those kind of like introduction conferences, basically to introduce this type of woke talk. It's kind of a diet woke. You know how they got the little woke shirts that look like the Coca-Cola symbol. It was kind of like a diet woke type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a little, I would say, maybe a little far left than what this conference was, but I understand that it's a need to kind of to get people up to speed, you know, as to where black people are, what's the talking points within the black community. So I appreciated that part as far as being an introduction to, you know, the thoughts of a Killer Mike and a T.I. and people who are on a different path than what we normally see them as, you know. Now, what I would have liked to see, because there was a lot of misinformation that had went out, you know what I'm saying? So I would have liked to see them have, within that panel, you know, you can keep the panel the same, but, you know, add some historians to it, like a Professor James Smalls, or like a Dr. Kaba Hiawatha Kamani, or Dr. Leonard Jeffries. You know, add these people to it who are historians who can keep the dialogue and conversation honest, right? And then if you're going to talk economics, you can have a Dr. Claude Anderson on there. Anytime you talk about economics and reparations came up on there, and if you don't mention or include Dr. Claude Anderson or, you know, Julianne Malvo or these type of people who specialize in this, you know, who specialize on these topics, then, you know, we kind of doing ourselves a disservice. Because, and it's not a shot to nobody on the panel, but, you know, what do they specialize in? Like, are they historians? Like I say, we just need to get some clarity and keep the conversation honest. So for me, you know, they talked about a black agenda. So where I stand and where I see it is, it's all about tangibles for black people. It's all about a black agenda. It's not about, you know, what can we do for poor people. It's not about what can we do for people of color. It's not about minorities. This is not about none of that. This is about a black agenda, and the main part of that black agenda is reparations. Now, if none of the candidates are talking about that, then me personally, I'm not going to vote for a presidential candidate. And I know that's a lot of people's sentiment as we talk about, you know, the ADOS movement, American Descendants of Slaves. You can go to their website, ADS101.com, and they have an agenda and a plan set out that you can actually go look at as far as what they mean by the agenda. And just to sum it up overall, basically the agenda is to close the wealth gap, the racial wealth gap here in America. Because, you know, black Americans are at a crucial point in this country's history, you know, as we talk about right now. We are at a crucial point. It's all about economics. We have been left out, locked out, kept out of participating in the economics of America and building generational wealth for ourselves and our family. And this has been done, you know, since the end of slavery. So that is the main priority. Otherwise, if this doesn't happen, you know, black people are at risk of being a permanent working class, service class, fourth class, consumer citizens. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're on the verge of. You know, if something doesn't, you know, if something doesn't give and we don't get on code, right? So I feel like we are getting on code. And part of that conversation is to talk about a black agenda. And we're presenting this to Democrats because largely we voted Democrat in the past. And if they're not with it, the Democratic Party is going to crash and burn because black people will just withhold their vote. And then Donald Trump will get reelected, you know, which is not a major problem, I don't think, for black people, but it's really going to hurt the Democratic Party if they don't come with a black agenda. With the panel, I did feel like even though Candace Owens did make some points, but she was telling some half-truths as well. Now, I didn't like, and Killer Mike kind of jumped on the crowd because a lot of people was getting triggered. They wasn't letting the woman speak, you know, and it kind of got out of hand. I felt like she should have been able to speak her piece, and then you can come behind her and kind of, you know, challenge what she said. So I felt like, you know, with Trump being a trigger word for a lot of black people, we didn't allow her to get her points out, even though some of the stuff she said was correct. You know, like I could talk about, she was talking about the single mothers and the absent fathers and all that, which that is now this is just a question. Is single motherhood really the norm in our community, or is that what they're promoting? You know what I'm saying? Is that the norm, or is that what they promote? That's just a question I just want to put out there. Because she talked about how the Democratic Party destroyed the black family and the black community, but she fails to tell us why they did that. What was the underlying reason that they gave women benefits if the father was not in the home? See, all these conversations eventually lead back to white supremacy, whether it's on the Democratic side or it's on the Republican side. You see what I'm saying? And she fails to mention that. You know, she talked about the literacy rate. Now, we know that's due to the preschool to prison pipeline, and there's a correlation between illiteracy and kids or people that end up in jail, right? So that is a real thing, and that is due to a lot of the inner city schools, which are democratically controlled, again, miseducating our children and leaving them out there to where they cannot read, and they end up going through the prison system, right? I wouldn't say that that's a majority. I would say that's some of our kids. I may even go as far as to say a lot, but I wouldn't say the majority. Now, as far as the black leadership thing that they had talked about, and we're going to get to the call lines here in a second. As far as the black leadership thing, my thing is, I agree that Farrakhan is a leader, you know, and he's a great leader that has spoken on our behalf, but I kind of put him on the side of a clergyman, being that he represents a religion, you know, and I feel like at this point, black people really need to have a code that's our leader, because we don't want one person leading us, right? Because we can't name no other group that has a leader. I don't know the leader of white people. Maybe y'all do. Do y'all know the leader of the Chinese people? Do y'all know the leader of the Italians or whoever, whatever other group? We can't name their leaders. So why do we need a leader? The only thing we need is a code, because we know what has happened to our leaders in the past. They are targets, and then the organization falls apart once they get either assassinated physically or their character gets assassinated. You know what I'm saying? So I think we need to get past the leader. We need to each individually be doing our own thing as far as trying to figure out how we can get on a code of conduct. you know, how we can hold ourselves accountable and hold the people around us accountable for the things we do. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there. And then as far as the cussing, I'm just addressing a few points that my brother Mufasa brought up. As far as the cussing, me personally, I didn't really have a problem with that. I know some other people said some things about that. But I don't really have a problem with the cussing. You know, I just feel like it's a word. If nobody told us they was cuss words, they would be just words to emphasize what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So I don't particularly have a problem with that. I do understand people that do. I don't like to use that type of language all the time, but I don't have a problem when other people use it. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. We can hit the call lines. Now, I do want to bring some up later as far as the history of black people, because y'all do know that black people started out, we used to be largely Republican, right? And black people, even today, I believe a lot of black people are very conservative in their thinking, meaning we don't really want the government in our business. We would rather have less government, you know, within our affairs. But the Democratic Party is a party that believes in more government programs, more this, more that, as far as assistance. So we can talk about that. I want to get it. Do want to just chop up a little history on that, but we can go to the call lines. If you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds. We are talking about the Revolt Summit that happened last week, the Black Agenda, talking about voting, and this coming 2020 election, what does it look like for the black community? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And, Roger, you want to hit the call lines?
Okay. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a comment. As far as I'm concerned, I sat there and watched it a couple times. The only two people they needed up on that stage was Michael and Owens. The other people were just there as distractions, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Because they were the only two that was talking facts and answering, you know, putting the information out there. And Mike did throw out a bunch of names to look up. I looked them all up, and they were basically on economics. So Killer Mike
right,
has been
right.
hitting on economics big time. So
right. You want to share? Can you share some of the names that he dropped on there for the listeners?
Yeah. I got them written down. Of course, Marcus Garvey, Thomas Cole, Walter E. Williams, Antonio Moore, Yvette Carnell, and Stokely Carmichael.
There you go.
And they all had the one thing in common was economics. They all talked economics.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and that's what I was saying. They probably should have had one of them up on the panel to really kind of go in on the economic side of things.
And instead of having Stephen there, they should have had David Banner.
Right.
Because,
that would have been
because
cool.
The dude, because Stephen, every time he opened his, I mean, after the intro, cool, but when he opened his mouth the second time, he just sounds stupid.
Wow.
He didn't say nothing.
Okay. Right.
Facts.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So,
anything else, Carl?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm with the call on that one.
I didn't mind the cussing, but they could have toned down the N-word a little bit. They could have toned that down a little bit.
Right.
Other than that, I thought it was pretty interesting. And like I said, ever since you guys sent me link Thursday or Friday, that's all I've been looking at. So.
All
right.
Good. That's what it's all about.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
educate.
We appreciate you. Yeah, we appreciate you calling in.
Another thing I wanted to say was they was talking about trying to talk to the young folks.
Yeah.
It is very hard to talk to a lot of young folks nowadays because of a lack of respect. I said that before.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the young folks don't want to hear what us older people got to say. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And then when we do let them put their voice in, they say something stupid.
Yeah, because they don't want to listen. They don't want to learn.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to let y'all get to the next caller.
Yes,
appreciate
indeed.
You,
we appreciate you.
Yeah. All right. It right on that one boy with that yellow scarf on, Steve. Or whatever. Now, somebody mentioned
Steven.
Something that he said. Now, he said, I don't have an agenda. My agenda is. So you have an agenda or you don't have an agenda? The poor boy,
right.
I just think he was kind of out of his league right then. I think he may have got a little too nervous. He wants to maybe show the sweater off. But, yeah.
Right,
I just want to throw that out. I don't think he needs to be on there. I agree with the caller. Okay, we go to area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Hey,
peace be upon you. We good. How you be?
Oh, man. I really want to sit back and listen, but I'm going to kind of build off of what Brother Kev was saying. With us needing leaders, I'll say yes and no, because, like you said, this should be an introduction to a conference that's taking place on a consistent basis. And while we may not need a quote-unquote leader, because we haven't had one since Martin Luther King, I think Dr. Khalid Muhammad was on his way, but he might have been too drunk for some of y'all. But we do need people that are over certain departments, you know, like with all the knowledge and clairvoyance that Claude Anderson has, who can we say will be his replacement if he transitions? I think a lot of these people, at some point, if we're about nationalism, we're going to have to put our egos to the side, because we know that there are certain people that can run the education realm and, you know, that kind of thing. The conference, I did watch it. I think it was needed, but my thing is, like, are we looking for a candidate, or are we looking to really do this thing ourselves? Because it almost seems like as long as we're voting for a candidate and going to their polls, and we understand how this vote thing works, you know, it's like we're keeping ourselves entrapped in the matrix. And I always say, when it comes to the whole politician thing, I never see Asians and Jews involved in this like this, collectively.
Exactly.
And these are the two most powerful groups in the world, but they have a system where they are depending on each other. And, you know, we outweigh them. So, you know, that's my whole thing. Some of these people I can't take seriously. Some of them, you know, they do bring up good points, but, you know, what's the main focus? What is the black agenda? Because if we're looking at it from a capitalistic standpoint, I really think that the strongest thing that we can do right now is redirect our spending. We're spending way too much money on, you know, weed, alcohol, Air Jordans, you know, things that are attached to the people that are keeping us behind. So, like, when we have conversations about, you know, building Wall Street, not just in Atlanta, but just across the world on an economic scale. That's all I have for that. I really didn't want to say much, but I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the black agenda? Because I keep hearing that mentioned that we need to have a black agenda, which I'm assuming includes only black people. But what is that agenda? What would you say is the number one thing, the number one focus that we need to be focused on as this new election comes up, however you want to put it?
Right. Great question and great comments. Now, first, just real quick, I'm going to get to that question, but real quick. Now, as far as the leader thing, what I believe, and it's just my personal opinion, that black people, we need what you would call a black intelligentsia. You know, we need black think tanks. We need people that can come together, hash out an idea, and then we put a spokesperson in front. And this spokesperson says, I am not the leader. I'm here as a spokesperson. You know, I can be replaced at any time, but I'm just here to put forth and articulate our agenda, right? That's how a lot of groups move. A lot of groups, when you talk about conservatives, you talk about these neo-conservatives or whoever, they all have these particular think tanks where they get together and they'll put somebody in front just to articulate their ideas. So if that person can be replaced at any moment, and he's not just the designated quote-unquote leader. So I think that's what we need at this point is an intelligentsia, some think tanks, some political packs, if you will, to hash out ideas and put a spokesperson out there to articulate those ideas. Now, what is the biggest agenda? I would say we have to close the wealth gap, because we got to think about it. We live in America. This is, unfortunately, a capitalist society. You know, you could talk about money being the root of all evil. You could say money this, money that. But that is the bottom line of our agenda. It is economics. Now, if you go to the ADOS101.com website, it lays out a black agenda, and it also gives some stats as far as black wealth and white wealth within this country. Now, out of all the households in America, just real quick, and I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know if that's the TV or what, but if you can mute your line, please. Now, when we look at black wealth, when we look at the total household wealth in America, right, there is $107 trillion worth of household wealth in America. $107 trillion worth of household wealth. Out of that $107 trillion, white people have about $100 trillion of that. Black people are 15% of the population. We only have about $3 trillion worth of household wealth. Do you understand that disparity in wealth? And most of the black wealth out of that 3%, out of that $3 trillion is concentrated in the top 10% of black wealth. So that means the top 10% of black wealth owns about 90% of all the black wealth. So you have the other 90% fighting for less than $2 trillion worth of wealth. So the numbers are staggering, and we have to we're going to have to close that wealth gap. So that is most important. It is a demand for reparations. Not a asking. And then, see, people be like, well, you sitting and waiting on the government to give you reparations. No, black people can multitask, right? We don't have to sit and wait, but this is something we need to demand. This is something that is owed. And whether they do it or not, we still are in the driver's seat, because what we can do is there's power in withholding our vote. So just to answer that question real quick, I think the number one agenda for black people is reparations and a black agenda, economic wealth, that we need to be put on the table, and they need to cut the check. You know what I'm saying? They need to cut the check. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that through entrepreneurism. We're not going to be able to do that through saving. Even though those are good steps and good gestures, that is not going to pull us up out of this mess that we've been in for the last 100 to 200 years economically. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I would say to answer that question. I don't know if somebody else want to go in on that.
Yeah, I got a few things I want to address.
Because first, let me try to unpack some of this stuff. Nothing is new under the sun. This is what I've said before, and I'm sticking with it. All these plans and programs and agendas, these things have already been laid out by us, by black leadership in the past. Two people in particular, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad. The plan has already been set forth. What I've said prior to this show is we just don't move out as a group on the program. And as far as when you said earlier about, you know, leadership and having a leader, see, no, we don't have to have one particular leader. You know, Minister Farrakhan, he's a part of the blueprint and a part of this plan. He's following Elijah Muhammad's plan. He's not the quote-unquote leader. He's just someone you can look to for leadership, but not saying, hey, when he goes, he is the leader. When he falls, that's it. No, he said, look at Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad is not here in the physical, but he already laid out a plan. The following blueprint shows the way. This is in page 174, Message to the Black Man. One, recognize the necessity for unity and group operation. Two, pool your resources physically as well as financially. Three, stop criticisms of everything that is black owned and black operated. Stop unwanted criticisms of everything that is black owned and black operated. Four, keep in mind jealousy destroys from within. And five, observe the operations of the white man. And why? Because he has been successful. He makes excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner, and we should do the same. The plan is already laid out for us. We just don't follow the plan as a whole. We're still looking and searching and scratching and pawing for all these different ideas when we have a mold. You know, and I agree with what the caller said earlier about young people not wanting to listen. That is very true. It's been true in the past. It's true now. That's why I saw that from Ferguson. We out here in Ferguson, and we going through, you know, some chaos out here after the Michael Brown situation, and elders trying to tell the young people how to move. What was they saying? No, this is our movement now. Y'all had y'all time. Let us run the show. Well, look where they got us. 4 years later, what did it get us? Absolutely nothing. You know, there is a lack of young people who want to listen to the elders. And you have to listen to elders. You have to learn from your elders. That's why, again, I say our plan has already been laid out. We just need to put one foot in front of the other and move out on it. And also, one other thing that you said, Brother Kev, when it comes to, you know, Farrakhan representing the religion, I would say, no, he represents, it's a way of life.
Sure. Okay, got it.
We don't have to look at that as religion, but look at what Elijah Muhammad laid out as a way of life. And if we all would work towards that programming of that way of life, we'll be in a different situation than we're in now. I mean, all you gotta do is look in the past, the proof is in the pudding. Look at how the nation was coming up under his leadership back in the 70s.
Yes, indeed. Now, the caller did ask, real quick, what was the black agenda? Now, again, this is from the ADOS website. Now, the ADOS, that movement or whatever, gets a lot of bad press, but just real quick, because my thing is, for years and years, black people, we know that we have an identity crisis, right? We argue over, are we Hebrews, are we Moors, are we, you know, Nation of Islam, are we black, are we Negro, African-American? All these things have come from, or these names have come from, that a lot of them haven't been grassroots. So what I see ADOS is, this is the first time that the grassroots black people have actually gave themselves a designation that wasn't from Jesse Jackson or the Boulay. It wasn't African American. It wasn't Negro or colored or whatever. This was something that was generated from the grassroots, and it was a way to distinguish black American culture from other groups, right? Because we have to make that distinction, because even though our ethnicity is African, right, we don't share a totally African culture. That's been totally stripped from us, right? So our culture is American whether we like it or not. You know what I'm saying? We grew up on American TV, American music, American dress. Like this is our culture that we've kind of created as a result of being over in America. So I look at ADOS as a way to distinguish ourselves culturally and as a group within the diaspora of all Africans. Because when you ask Jamaican, what are they? They don't say they're African for the most part. The first thing they'll say is, I'm Jamaican. If you ask somebody from the Bahamas, what are they? I'm Bahamian. You ask somebody from, you know, Brazil, they gonna be, I'm Brazilian. You know what I'm saying? So, and that, there's no knock on that. You ask somebody from Nigeria, they're going to say I'm Nigeria. They're not going to say I'm Africa. We got to remember, Africa is a continent with over 50 countries, with 52 countries in it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can claim the entire continent because we know that that's our ethnicity, but we still have to get specific as to what country, tribe, are we talking about. So, like I said, ADOS was a way to distinguish black Americans who have foundational roots within this country from other groups. And I just want to read as far as the – go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say this real quick because I just don't want you to get away from the point that you're making right now, because it reminded me of something that was said on the summit, which we kind of overlooked so far.
Right.
Somebody, and I believe it was either Killer Mike or T.I., said something that I thought was a good idea of having a vote day in the black community where we can vote on what we want to call ourselves. I think that was a fantastic idea.
I think that was one of the audience.
That was Jay Morrison. Yeah, Jay Morrison got up there and said that. Now,
that was a great idea, in my opinion. Let's vote on that situation. Let's vote amongst ourselves on what we could put certain categories, put certain titles on the ballot, and we vote on which way we want to move out. What we want to
I'm
call
gonna be honest. I don't know if that. I think that could be a bigger waste of time than something productive. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, as far as right now, where we stand right now, which is September 22nd, 2019, black people as a collective. Now, I've been following this political track so far, you know, as we lead into 2020. We are in a great position. And I say that because we are holding the Democratic Party accountable, which, like I said before, within the past 50 years, we've just given our votes to the Democrat and haven't really demanded anything. But every time I turn around and look, there's someone asking these Democrats about a black agenda, about reparations, about this, about that, as it pertains to black people. So I feel like at this point, we are in a great position, and we don't necessarily need to have a vote. Because he was saying we need to have a vote so we can designate ourselves, get a constitution, and take this stuff to the UN, and then we can see about reparations. No. The UN has already said that black Americans deserve reparations from the United States government. That's already been declared. And furthermore, the Indians don't have a flag that I know of. They don't have a particular flag. They don't have a particular constitution. And they were able to get repair, get reparations. and get what they you know, what they needed from the government. So I don't think they we necessarily need to do all that. We just need to get on code and demand it and show and prove with our vote, because we can make the Democratic Party crash and burn by just simply not voting for them. You know, so but that's, you know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, but still tying into what you were saying earlier about the agenda and you know, having an agenda, and you was talking about what we calling ourselves. Well, what better way for us to get on one accord is to just do a vote amongst ourselves. You know, and as far as flags go, I'm just throwing this information out there. I think the Moore Science Temple, I believe they have a flag and a constitution.
They do have a flag.
I know the Nation of Islam, we have a flag and a constitution. Probably Pan-Africanism has a flag, possibly
right.
A constitution. So you see, we've broken down into these little cults and sects, and we don't we stumbling and bumbling over each other. Maybe all these different groups and sets should have. We sit down and say, hey, today we're gonna have Black Vote Day, and we're gonna present what issues. These are the issues on the table that should affect all of us. Let's move forward on these. I mean, I think that's a great idea than us sitting up here stumbling and bumbling over each other's feet. You know, all the groups come together. Okay, I don't have to say I'm a Hebrew. I don't have to say I'm a Nation of Islam. I'm Hebrew Israelite. This thing. I don't have to be that. But hey, we got this group of issues that affects the Black overall Black community. Let's vote to see which ones we want to move out on this year. And then, like Killer
right.
Mike said, once we come up with that, now we know that this is the stuff that we want to deal with for the year. So whoever it may be running in office, look, we've already deemed that these are the issues. This ain't all of the issues, but these are the issues that we want to address at this point, at this particular time. So some of those issues. And if these particular candidates are not rocking with those issues, then we're not rocking with you over all the groups. See, that's how we can move together as a united front to get something done, to get something accomplished. So I like that idea myself.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are discussing the Revolt Summit that happened last week in Atlanta. Also, there is another summit, a Revolt Summit, that's coming up in L.A., which should be interesting. I believe that's at the end of October. You know, you probably looked that up online, but there is another summit that's coming in Los Angeles. So, you know, be on the lookout for that as it comes up. Now, as far as this Black agenda, let me just read a couple things and then we can go to the call lines. It says Black agenda. As a specific group with a specific justice claim, the ADOS movement demands a specific agenda with policy prescriptions that address the losses stemming from the institution of slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, convict leasing, mass incarceration, and immigration. We demand a new deal for Black America, which includes but is not limited to, we need set-asides for American descendants of slavery, not minorities, a throwaway category which includes all groups except white men. That categorization has allowed Democrats to use programs like affirmative actions as giveaways to all groups in exchange for votes. That bribery must end. That begins with a new designation on the census with ADOS and another for Black immigrants. Black immigrants should be barred from assessing affirmative action and other set-asides attended for ADOS. Like that kind of went into what Candace Owens was saying about how immigration really does not benefit foundational Black Americans, right? And that's what the Democratic Party is pushing, even along with the LGBT thing. But their main platform as far as the Democrats go is immigration and LGBT rights or issues. None of those really benefit Black society. So the next point. Once affirmative action is streamlined as a government program only and specifically for ADOS Black Americans, the program should be fully reinstituted. The Supreme Court decided wrongly when it gutted the Voting Rights Act, as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution article, "It's Time to Solve the Mystery of the 100,000 Mystery Votes," indicates. The protections outlined in the Voting Rights Act are essential to protecting the rights of ADOS in America. Reinstituting the protections of the Voting Rights Act is a key part of our agenda. We seek a multi-million dollar infrastructure plan targeted to ADOS communities, including but not limited to the Black Belt, Flint, Michigan, and 3,000 other cities with poisoning rates higher than Flint, Michigan. They talk about mass incarceration, audits with the banks, mandate for government advertising for Black media, ADOS college debt should be forgiven, and there's a whole list of things, family. I don't want to read it because it's kind of long, but if you go to their website, there's a list of things, that includes also cash payments as well. So to your point, Brother Mufasa, and we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. To your point, I think all those groups, see, the reason why I don't want to have a, you know, why I'm against the vote per se, because we can have a designation that all those groups fit up under, right? See, we all have things in common that we need to build up on. So you can be Nation of Islam, you can be Hebrew, you can be a Moor. But if you're a foundational Black American and you have roots here in America, meaning your lineage goes back to the South or somewhere, you know, hundreds of years within this country, you can fit under the ADOS banner, even though, again, that gets a bad rap and gets a bad name. But you can fit under those banners. You can be Nation of Islam and be a foundational Black American. You can be Hebrew and fit up under that. You know, you can be atheist. It don't matter. Like, you don't have to subscribe to a particular ideology to understand that your lineage and roots are here in America as a Black person. You see what I'm saying? We don't have to all be Nation of Islam to get something done. I just think we just need to be on code and know that the things that we have in common, which is a common oppressor, of oppression, a common enemy, and you know, we have a common fight. So those are the things that we can rally on. Like, I don't care who you pray to, you know, what you got going on in your spare time, but if we can agree on those and move towards that, we good. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're saying the same thing. The only difference is you've already deemed the ADOS as that umbrella. That's the only difference in what we're saying. We're basically saying the same thing, because you giving that to the ADOS and allowing them to move out with, you know, the agendas of what we're going to vote on. So we're basically saying the same thing, just you've given the umbrella, quote unquote, to the ADOS.
Right. Well, that's just the term. Again, that's just the term to, because we could call it foundational Black Americans. We can call it ADOS. We can call it descendants of runaway slaves. We could call it descendants of whatever. But the thing is, we have to make a distinction between the Black people who have a lineage here, meaning whose family was born and bred in the South, moved north or west or whatever. You know, we have to make a distinction that we are the foundation to this country. So the problem is, you have a lot of first generation people, meaning immigrants that come from another country who are anchor babies, whose parents are from another place, and they come here and get the benefits that our grandparents and ancestors fought for. You dig what I'm saying? So that's why we have to make that distinction. And a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of these people align themselves with the white majority, with the dominant society. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we have to make that distinction, because they come over here, you know, and get these grants to go to these schools. They get these affirmative action and all type of things that we fought for that were actually set aside for Black Americans, but they come over here and they get those benefits and we're left with nothing. Even starting businesses and things like that. You got Arabs coming over here. They get benefits to start businesses and incentives and things like that, which those things were meant for Black Americans. But somehow they've kept us out of the loop of getting those benefits. So that's why, you know, this ADOS is saying, look, we need something specifically for Black foundational Americans, whether they Nation of Islam, Hebrew, whatever.
Well, one last thing that I'll say on that point, because like I said, I think we're saying the same thing. But don't you think we should take a vote as overall, quote unquote, Black people in America? We should vote on if we want to go with what the ADOS is saying, because some people don't look at themselves as descendants of slaves. You know, so I'm saying if we come together, like how, like Gab mentioned, having a Black Vote Day, if we all come together and vote, but hey, this ADOS thing sounds like a good thing for us too. They got good ideas. You know, we like that umbrella term for us as a community. Let's rock with some of these ideas. And if we can vote on it, and the majority of us say, yeah, we with it, instead of just we saying, hey, this ADOS got a good idea, let's all flow that direction. But some people pull back from it. So I'm just saying, let's have a vote day. That way we can have a percentage of people who say, yeah, we do like this. Let's move out on the ADOS. And I think that'll get more Black people involved. So I think we're on the same page.
Right, we are. But here go the thing, because this is the thing. The lineage is not up for debate. Like, it's not like this is a particular group that you have to join or, you know, you have to agree with. It's either your parents, grandparents, great-great-grandparents have roots in this country and you're Black or they don't. So that's not really up for debate. You know what I'm saying? Now, as far as the agenda, that agenda works. It's only going to it's only beneficial to that particular lineage. So it's not like you could just join. It's not like you could just be claim, oh, I'm ADOS, or you could say, I'm not ADOS. The thing is, where's your lineage? Or do your great-great-grandparents have roots in this country? If so, by definition, you're ADOS. Whether they were slaves or not, your family was still affected by what? Jim Crow laws, by segregation, by redlining, by this, by that. Like, you were still affected by the policies set forth from this country. So it's not like you can join or not join. It's either you part of it by definition or you not. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a joining thing. It's either your lineage, you got roots here, or you don't. If your parents from Nigeria and you were born in America, so you American, you're not ADOS. Right? You're not ADOS. If your parents was born in Jamaica, and they happen to move here, and you was born in America, but your parents are Jamaican, you're not ADOS. It goes back to lineage. So that's not something that you can join. It's not something that, you know, it's something you're born into. So, yeah, we probably would go back and forth on that. We'll leave that right there. Let's get to the call lines. If you just joined us, family, it's Collective Minds. We down to the last half hour. We have been talking about the Revolt Summit, Black Agenda, and the Black Vote as we head into 2020. You want to hit the call line, Roger?
Yeah, area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
You know, believe it or not, I could agree with some of that. Y'all sitting down when I said that?
Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah, we got you. Oh, who was that? Who was that? Hell no. Was that
a pin? This is the Donald Trump supporter and voter for Donald Trump.
Right, right. We know.
Explain.
Something I can agree with. Especially.
Yourself.
Especially when you're talking about the immigrants coming here taking advantage of programs that they have no experience in their lineage. Now, but what you're doing, you are going the Congress route. But I see you trying to include some judicial. Judicial route don't been expended. Reparations. Reparations is not going to go any place in the courts. But if you want to plead to Congress based on these experiences that you have, now you know you're mixing up local, you're mixing up state, and you're trying to put federal. See, federal government is not going to be responsible for what state's done. So that's where an issue is going to come about. Jim Crow was not a federal program because people up north, in St. Louis, we never experienced none of this stuff. We didn't experience no riots in St. Louis.
No. Where are you talking about? East St. Louis, there was a riot in 1917.
That was East St. Louis, but that wasn't a federal. That wasn't a federal initiated action. That happened because blacks came out of the South and was going to work for the stockyards over there on Route 3, and they was on strike and so on and so on. So that would have to be, in most, a state of Illinois issue. The federal government had nothing to do with that.
Right. So now where the federal government does come into place when we talk about redlining, when we talk about...
No, federal government has nothing to do with redlining. That's something that's done within the cities itself. Now, you know another thing. You talking about descendants of slaves. And I think I sent you some article where you got white people just as white as Vince Shamel. That's black. They identify black because their father was black. Maybe their mama was white. What are we going to do in a case like that?
Now, see, what happens is that's just like when you have the $2 Indians. So when you had the Indian scrolls, a lot of white people were claiming to be Indian so they can receive those benefits.
$5 Indian, $2.
So it's going to be the same thing. I'm sure there's going to be some white people come out the woodwork like, hey, my people were slaves and this and that. But we could fix that real quick by just going through the lineage. Now, have you lived a white life? What have you checked on your census?
Yeah, but you don't have no way to check that, Kevin.
Remember the one
I sent you not too long ago with this white woman? Mm-hmm. And this woman says she's black.
Right.
Because her father was black. And her mama... Her mama, either mama or sister or aunt, I forget one of the two, you know, tell her that she's not. But her father was black. Black as Jack Johnson. So, you know, those are things that you're going to have to look at. You know, another point, too. Your nationality is United States citizen. That's what's on your passport. That's what the rest of the world is going to recognize you in. United States is a country in North America.
Right.
The continent.
That's what it is.
Right. But
I agree with that. I used to struggle with that, calling myself an American, but I think I turned the corner. And this is my country. Again, my culture and roots are here. My family, I'm ADOS to the core. We got roots in Mississippi, in the South. So I'm American. And we don't need a different constitution because the American Constitution is our constitution. That's for all Americans, right or wrong.
Yeah, now, I agree with some of the things. You're absolutely right because you got the Russians that come under affirmative action. You got in St. Louis. You know over there on DeBolivar Avenue, you know where the firehouse is over on DeBolivar and Delmore?
Yep, I do.
Right behind there is a Russian community. Been there for a long time. And the Russians can... come under affirmative action. They do.
Yes. You can talk about the Bosnians who came here in be in the mid 90s.
80,000 of them.
The war. 80,000 came. Like, St. Louis has the largest Bosnian community outside of Bosnia. And they came here, set up shop. They were able to build an economic community. They have incubators and business things going on.
Ain't none of them out of work.
Ain't none of them out of work. You know, they have a thriving community. They have politicians in the local set.
And them Somalis the same way. Them Somalis don't have nothing
Somalis
to do with black Americans.
Yes,
Somalis
indeed.
Got an organization up there in Minnesota called the African Development Center. And, heck, they don't even talk to you. But they
and
whites gravitate to them. So, you know, something
right.
like that I could agree to because I was totally against all these other groups. See, in 1960, Johnson signed the Civil Rights Bill for one thing. It's for black voter support, political support. That's the reason he
right.
signed it. I mean,
right.
that is it. And we can go on to talk about, you ain't got enough time to talk about. Maybe the next time we'll talk about the Civil Rights Movement. But
yeah, I did
it's your leaders. It's
yes,
your
indeed.
Leaders that let these other groups come up underneath the protective class that blacks was made. I remember you talking about ADOS, if you want, and that's a good term. But it was a protective class that was made specifically for them, for
right,
the people
exactly.
of this category. But
exactly.
your leaders
but
let all others come under. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that and that's where the problem lies right there, plain and simple. There were set-asides and things that were specifically to repair and fix and help assist black people in America and everybody else benefited.
Now, you're going to have another issue.
White women was a minority as well.
Yeah, they are. You're going to have another issue because you got blacks who have reached a certain economic status that Democrats are not viable to them. They are conservative. Now, here's the thing. You cannot limit it just to saying, Democrats, if you want our support, you need to come on. You need to tell them all. If you want our support, then
right.
you're going to have to come on board. Because
this
believe it or not, you do have African-Americans or blacks that have progressed to the point. Look at David Stewart. David Stewart just donated $750,000 to the Missouri
right.
Republican Party. And there's
right.
more out there. Now, do
yeah.
they have do they work in order to help lift those who are in the Ferguson predicament? Yes. I mean, you know I do.
Right.
But I can't be out there working for Lacey Clay put some shit, stuff out there that's totally against my interest. And
yes,
I have to swallow that very hard. But no,
yes,
that's
indeed.
A good thing.
We're
you got that's a good plan. We should talk about that a little bit more. By the time
yes,
y'all
indeed.
Come up with something I like.
Yes, indeed. We will talk. Thank you, Carl. We want to get one
all
more
right.
call.
All
right,
buddy.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. All right. Let's go to the other call.
Okay.
Right.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm getting it right in. Getting everything loaded up. Area code 315-767. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, not tonight. Not tonight, but thanks for taking my call.
Oh, no problem, caller. No problem. Not tonight. You heard the man. Not tonight. Okay. You heard him. Okay.
We have one more caller.
We got one more call. I'm here. I'm sorry. I did want to go in because Killer Mike did say something at the Revolt conference that was incorrect, and I got to credit the brother Micah Imhotep for pointing this out from the African History Network. Okay. Give me 1 second.
Killer Mike ran the stage.
So Killer Mike. Yeah, Killer Mike did grab the stage. Now, one thing he did say, he said there were more black people in Congress during Reconstruction, which that is not true. Now, during Reconstruction, there were 16 to 20 blacks in Congress. Today we have 56 black Congress. I'm sorry, black. I should have put the word black in there. There were 16 to 20 blacks in Congress during Reconstruction, which Reconstruction was 1865 after the Civil War through 1877. Today we have 56 congressmen in the United States Congress that are black, and then we have 3 black senators. Okay. Now, largely before or after the Civil War, the majority, and we're going to get into some history real quick, the majority of black people were actually Republicans, right? They were Republicans up until about the 1960s, but this was a period of over 40 to 50 years. There was a movement that everybody needs to look up called the Lily White Movement. This was a movement by the Republican Party because they were trying to get support from the southern states. The southern states used to be largely Democrat. They were called Dixiecrats. They were segregationists, they were racist, and they were Democrats. So the Republican Party, in order to win those votes, they implemented a 5-state southern strategy to appeal to the segregationists so the Republican Party could remain could maintain power. The Republican Party stopped meeting the needs of black people, and they stopped addressing our concerns. So we talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was elected in 1933. Harry S. Truman was after him. These were all Democrats, but they were Harry Truman was, according to certain sources, was a known racist, used the N-word regularly. So the Democratic Party was there. Let's just say there were a lot of races in that party before 1960 and before the blacks moved over to that party. So black people started voting Democratic because in the 60s, under around Hoover, which is around Ford in the 40s, and then up until Lyndon Johnson, they started to support the Civil Rights Bill. And that's how blacks moved as a group from the Republican Party to what we've now, in our lifetime, been voting as the Democratic Party. But again, black people started out mostly as a group after the Civil Rights Movement. They started out as Republicans. And like I said, there was a lot of stuff going on around the turn of the century. You know, you had the Great Migration from 1915 to about 1960, where 6 million blacks left the South, left the terrorism in the South, and moved north and west looking for jobs and things like that. And what happened was when World War One happened, a lot of the white soldiers went off to war, some black as well, but the North, the factory jobs were left open. So the factory jobs started recruiting South to go up North and take those jobs. Now, within that time, they started to create labor unions as the soldiers started coming back from World War One. The white soldiers started coming back, and they wanted their jobs. And that's how you had all these riots that were going on around this time from, you know, the 1900s. You had the East St. Louis riot in 1917. That was over some work and labor disputes. You had riots in Chicago in 1919, Omaha. You had Tulsa, Oklahoma in 21. So all these things were going on around the turn of the century. But, again, I say all this to say it was a time where black people were going through a time where we were changing political parties. We were trying to get work. We were trying to establish ourselves after coming out of the Holocaust of slavery. You see, and as time went on and the party's interest started changing, we moved from Republican to Democrat because they started to support our interests largely as a group, even though we know in hindsight, you know, it kind of hindered us as we look back and see. It kind of hindered our society. So I just wanted to put that out there. Please look all that stuff up, family. Again, I got that a lot of information from Michael Inhotep. He has a history channel where he gives you a lot of sources, a lot of books where you can look up and actually see the history, because they were talking about a lot of history on the panel. But it'd be good to have a historian there, again, to keep the conversation honest. You know, I know they didn't mean no harm by what they were saying, but it's important that we're accurate, you know, within these conversations as well. So I'm going to leave that right there, you guys. Y'all still with me? Y'all still on? Rigel? Brother Mufasa?
Yeah, we still here, bro.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there. We down the last 5 minutes. I'm a, you know, let y'all close it out. Thanks to the callers.
Hell no.
Mufasa, what you gonna say?
Yeah. Hey, you know, all I want to say is again, I appreciated the panel myself. It was a good discussion, and I would love to revisit down the road about that Black Vote Day. I think I enjoyed that dialogue, Brother Kev, and I think we should revisit that down the road. And again, I will always say to the young people that's coming up, don't be afraid and don't be so cocky and arrogant, you know, and not want to take heed and listen to your elders. You can learn a lot from elders. They will always tell you, look, they've been our age. We haven't been theirs. So we can learn a lot from our elders. And also pick up the book. Try to read. You know, I know black literacy rates are down. We need to read. Pick up some books. Read some books. I recommend, too, The Philosophy and Opinions of Marcus Garvey and Message to the Black Man by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I will close with that.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry we couldn't get to all the callers this week, too. We apologize for that. But we'd like to thank everybody that called in, everybody that supported us and continued to support us. We totally appreciate you guys. So continue to tune in with us each and every Sunday afternoon, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, all the social media outlets. And if you have any show topic ideas, please don't hesitate to send us an email with your suggestion at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. And, again, thank you. Look forward to talking to everybody next week. Peace.
Peace.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Okay. Like it.
They thought.